Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Zevachem Ayin. We begin right on top. Hai Nami Tepikli. Now, we're in the middle of a complex back and forth. Let's perhaps take stock before we begin. So the starting point, the trigger point of our discussion was a machlokes back in the Mishnah regarding a bird which was discovered to have been a treifa. Treifa is a bird with a critical, you know, a wound, which makes it usher to eat, right? So after the shechita or the malika, it was discovered as a treifa. So of course it's forbidden in terms of eating. The question is regarding tumah. We know that there is a unique type of tumah applicable to a dead bird. Mitame bebesablia. Not upon touching or lifting, like by an animal. Here it's exclusively upon swallowing, upon eating it. And that, of course, only applies to a kosher bird that had died, but not to a non-kosher bird, as we learned yesterday. So what about a bird that didn't really die? It experienced shechita or malika, but then was discovered to be a treva, so the act of shechita didn't really benefit the bird too much in terms of edibility. But does it spear it from tumah of nevela, or is it simply a dead bird? Rav Meir says, it's tohar, it's speared of that tumah. And he learned it from a pasuk, which compares the behemah to the oif, and just like by a behemah, after shechita, even if it were to be discovered as a treifa, would still be tohar. The same applies to a bird. Rav Yehuda, however, presented a source to support his shita, his position, that in fact a bird, even after shechita, since it was discovered to be a treifa, shechita is ineffective, so to speak, and it's deemed a dead bird, and is metame b'beis ha'bliya. Where's his source? Because the pasuk, in speaking about this dead bird, which is metame b'beis ha'bliya, mentions nevela u'treifa. And the question was, why the word treifa? It's extra. To tell you, lahavi treifa shenishchata. Even if the bird experienced shechita, but if it was deemed a treifa, it still has that tumor. And the Gemara did go through a lot of different steps, and including the fact that according to Rabbi Yehuda, how does he know that a non-kosher bird, or if tame, that died, will not have that tumah of beis ablia? That's based on the word nevela, nevela treif. The word nevela tells you only a kosher bird which has an issue of nevela, which becomes usher when it dies, then the tumah of beis ablia applies, but not to a non-kosher bird, which is usher to begin with. It has no issue of nevela per se. Now, this is regarding one halacha, a bird being metame beveis ha'bliya. Let's shift for a second to another halacha, which we discussed yesterday as well. A different pasuk talking about chelev. Chelev, the fats of an animal that died, although the animal itself is metame, but the chelev is a separate component, a new entity. It's not like the flesh. It's not metame. Again, that's only if it's a kosher animal that died. But if it's a non-kosher animal, then just as the animal itself is metame, likewise the chelev. And that's learned from the mentioning of the word treifa in that pasuk. Pasuk says v'chelev nevela v'chelev treifa. You can use it. Don't worry about being tame. Just make sure v'achal lo yisachlu. Don't eat it. Chelev is asur to eat, but it's not metame. So the question now is, we learned that the chelev of a non-kosher animal is going to be matami because of the word treifa, b'chelev melechel treifa, which tells us that only a kosher animal which has an issue of Isra Treifa. Then we say, oh, the Chalev is tar, but a non-kosher animal, which is also to begin with, regardless of Treifa or not Treifa, it will not have that exemption, which makes us Chalev Mutar, which makes us Chalev tar. So now we begin with a question. Why do we need the word Treifa to exclude a non-kosher animal from this exemption of its chalev being tar? So by a non-kosher animal, the chalev is tummy as well, if it's a dead animal. Why do we need a special pasuk of treifa? The word treifa tells you to exclude a non-kosher animal from this exemption. Hai nami. Just as Rabbi Yehuda used the word nevela, not treifa. Treifa was used to tell you that a treifa shenishchata is metami beveis habliyah. Now we shift back to the birds, right? Rather, it was the word nevela by that bird that told you, well, the whole idea of metami beveis habliyah is limited to a kosher animal rather to a non-kosher. So just as Rabbi Yehuda sourced that halacha in the word from the word nevela, Hainami, see here as well. Shift back to Chalev. Looking for a source to exclude a non-kosher animal from this Chalev Tahar exemption. Hainami, typically, Chalev Nevela. You don't need the extra word Treif. Just the word Nevela, Chalev Nevela. Tells you that it only applies, this exemption, which exemption? That the Chalev of a dead animal is still Tahar, only applies to a kosher behemoth. That's learned from the word nevela, v'chelv nevela. Right? Again, just as a Yehuda excludes a non-kosher bird from the tumah of Beis Habliyah based on the word nevela, because as we said, treifa he already uses for something else to tell you that a treifa is initial to his metami. So likewise, when it comes to the halacha of the chelv of a dead animal being tor, which applies exclusively to a kosher animal. You're looking to exclude a non-kosher animal? Exclude it from the word nevela. You don't need treifa for that. Mechelev nevela, which tells you mishi yisurim mishem b'chel chelev nevela. Only a kosher animal whose isur is based on don't eat the chelev of the nevela, because basically it's a kosher animal. And the only issue is that it's a nevela. So only a kosher animal which has an issue based on nevela, as opposed to a behemah tmeah, which would be also regardless whether it's alive or dead, whether it's a nevela or shchuta. You know, it's a zoo, as opposed to a non-kosher animal, which is non-starter. Sheini yisurim shemachay teichel chelev nevela. Issue is not because it's a nevela, elam shem tam because it's non-kosher. So why is the word treifa necessary? We already know to exclude a non-kosher animal simply by way of the word nevela. The answer is, you're right. Elahai treifa boy, the word treifa over here is needed lasui chay to include a chaya, a wild animal, right? Undomesticated animal, a deer, etc. To tell you that even though it's a nevela, died, and the basar is matami, but not the chelev. Chelev is not matami. Why would I think a chay is different? Why would I think it's different than a behemoth? Sagda tachmina, perhaps I would think like this. Generally, the chaylev of a behemoth is forbidden, right? It's asr. You can't eat chaylev. It's meant for the mizbeach. But by a chay, which in any case is not meant for the mizbeach, so just as the flesh of a shechted chay is mutter, likewise it's chaylev. Right? It doesn't have the isr chaylev. So perhaps that would set it apart from a behemoth. We wouldn't have the same halacha regarding our discussion as well, regarding tumah of a dead chaya. It wouldn't have the same exemption as the chaylev of a dead behemoth. Perhaps by the dead behemoth, the chaylev is a totally different entity. It's asr ba'achila, right? Always. So likewise, when it comes to tumah, it's different. The basar is tummy, but not the chaylev. But by a chaya, with the chaylev is just as permitted as the basar. It's one single entity. So perhaps when the chaya is now dead, the tumah applies equally to the basar as to the fat. And that's why we need a new pasuk, treifa, to tell you, no, this exemption applies to chaya as well. Elai treifa and boilas so yichayit include a chaya. Salka that the chamin, perhaps I would think, misha chal ba'asa b'sar mutar. Only a behema, whose chaylev is typically forbidden, and it's b'asar is mutar. Then we say, well, the aloha applies, and we exempt the chaylev from tumah. Yotzazu as opposed to a chaya, shechel b'upsar mutar, both the chaylev and the basar is typically mutar. So then, it doesn't have this exemption regarding tumah as well. Right? Because the pasuk says, look, make sure not to eat the chaylev. Right? It's Torah, but don't eat it. Indicating we're speaking about a behemah. That's why we need treifa to include a chaya. Amalei, he says, Maishno. How could you, in fact, include a chaya in this exemption? You're agreeing with me that a non-kosher animal is not going to be included in this exemption, right? Why? Maishno tmei, why is it tmei not included? De'ein chel b'chalak m'psara. Because the tmei in totality is asr, whether the chaylev or the basar. So this pasuk, which tells you, like, you don't eat the chaylev, is telling you, well, the chaylev is asr, but the basar is mutar. Apparently, it's a kosher animal, as opposed to non-kosher. Chaya nami, same with the chaya. The basar and the chaylev are in the same boat, like we explained, right? Ein chelba chalok mipsar, its chaylev is not different than the basar. V'oid, and furthermore, a more direct question. Look at the pasuk. How the pasuk says, v'ocha lo yisachlu, the chaylev is not going to be metame, but make sure not to eat it. Clearly, we're speaking about chaylev of a behemoth, which is forbidden, not a chaya. So that's off the table. You can't do it. You can't include chaya in this exemption. So back to the question: why the word treifa? It's extra. El Rabbaye treifa l'gufa istrich. It's needed for its own sake. That the chaylev of a dead treifa, a kosher animal, which died and then was discovered to be a treifa, its chaylev is also tahor. Don't think it's different than a regular, conventional, healthy animal. It's needed for its own sake. You shouldn't suggest just like a non-kosher animal doesn't have this exemption. So just like a non-kosher animal which is usher during its lifetime, a treif asur mechaim, likewise a treif is usher during its lifetime, right? It's something which is prevalent during its lifetime. Perhaps we should compare the two. Ma tmei chel batame, af treif chel batame, just like the chelev of a non-kosher animal who died is tummy, likewise by a treifa. And that's why the pasuk has to specify, no, the chaylev of a dead treifa is tahor. Okay, now let's shift back to the birds. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we had that extra word treifa to tell you that a bird, even after shechita, but was discovered to be a treifa, is metame bebeis habliya, and was extra. Why is it extra? If that's the case, hainami, the word treifa back by the birds, is also unextra. It's also needed for something else and unavailable to support Rabbi Yehuda's position. It's needed to tell you that shleitaimar, you shouldn't think to compare a treifa to a non-kosher bird. Because as we explained before, only a kosher bird that died is metame bebeis habliya, but not a non-kosher bird. Interesting. So in both cases, regarding the tumah of a bird, bebeis habliya, we exempt a non-kosher bird, and likewise, on the negative side, but when it comes to the, here it's a positive, but there by the chaylev, it's a negative, that the chaylev of a dead kosher animal is not metame, but the chaylev of a non-kosher dead animal is metame. Interesting. Okay, in any case, shleitami, we shouldn't say back to the birds, hoylev if tame asr b'achila. We should compare treifa to a non-kosher bird, just like a non-kosher bird is forbidden. U'treifa asr b'achila, likewise a treifa. Ma'if tame, just like an if tame, ena metame, is not metame beis habliya, likewise af treifa. A dead treifa should also not have that tumah of beis habliya, ena metame. So the word treifa is not extra. Void up. Another question. How could you even suggest to learn treifa from tame, which necessitated these words of treifa? Why would I even compare treifa to atzmeya, which is the basis for our, premise here? Why? Why would you compare? They're incomparable. They're two different worlds. Non-kosher animal never had a moment in time of potential edibility. It was always tummy from day one. As opposed to a treifa, which developed a wound. It's better off. It has a, at least a moment in time where it was suitable. So it's not as bad. Perhaps you'll say treifa mi beten. What about a treifa from birth? It was missing, a lung. Well, still, it's not as severe as a tmeya. But mina, in its type, in its species, mia yika, you still have those that had a shasa kosher, that had a moment in time that they were suitable. So you can't compare. So now we're back to the question. Let's shift back to the chaylev discussion. The chaylev and avelu treifa. It's not matame. Don't eat it, but it's not matame. Why the word treifa? We thought to cover the treifa, I would think it's comparable to the tmeya. It's not comparable. So it's unnecessary to speak about exempting the chaylev of a treifa from tumma. It's obvious. Elamah Rava, let me tell you why the Torah speaks about nevela and treifa when it comes to the chaylev. A totally different point. What happens if one eats chaylev? Committed a severe transgression. What if it's chaylev of a dead animal? Or chaylev of a treifa? Does he get a double transgression? Does the isra of nevela, which applies even to basar, does it sort of apply itself to the chaylev as well and makes it double? Makes for a double sin? Yes, that's the point of the pasuk. Elam Rav HaTorah Amar, Torah is teaching us, Yava Yisr Nevela. Once the animal dies, the Yisr of Nevela, of eating a dead animal, applies itself. V'yachol al Yisr Chaylev, applies itself on the standard Yisr of Chaylev. And by eating it, he has transgressed a double Avera. One Chaylev, one Treifa. Same with Yisr Treifa. One Chaylev, one Nevela. Same with Yisr Treifa. The Torah is teaching that Yava is a treifa, v'yachal is a chaylev. Treifa lands on chaylev, and they're both needed. I can't really learn one from the other. It's richi. The Yashmin and Nevela. The Torah only speaks about Nevela landing on a chaylev. Shouldn't the matamia? Nevela is a powerful iser. It's matami things. So yeah, that works. Avo treifa, but iser treifa, which doesn't have tuma, ema. Like perhaps it can't combine with iser nevela chaylev. On the other hand, the Yashmin and treifa. The Torah only speak about the treifa joining Isser Achelev. Shem Isser Mechaim, because Treifa in a way is more severe than Nevela. It's already active during the Behemoth's lifetime. So I understand that works. Avol Nevela, Ebele, but Nevela only happens after death. Ebele, perhaps not as powerful. Tzricha, that's what the Pasuk takes the pain to point out. If one eats Chelev of a Nevela, or Chelev of a Treifa, has committed two Averis. Okay, now let's shift back to the birds. Pasuk says, if one should eat the nevela or treifa bird, he gets the tumma, right? And actually, we have two psukim, which we're going to discuss in a minute. There's the two psukim speaking about the fellow who ate the nevela or treifa bird that died. You eat it, become tummy. So now, let's just refresh. Rabbi Yehuda pointed to the word treifa, which was seemingly extra, in that pasuk, to tell you that even a bird that had shechita but was discovered to be a treifa still be metame beis ablia. Now the obvious question is, what would Rabbi Meir do with that extra word? Rabbi Meir was the one who says, no, a bird that had shechita is tar, even if it was discovered as a treifa. Rabbi Meir, hi, treifa my avadli. What does he do with the extra word treifa? Barely needs it. As discussed yesterday, what if a bird was taken into the Migdash and shech the deer? You would think, well, it's inappropriate, it's the wrong location, it's as good as dead. No, it's still tar. And that's based on the word treif. Rabbi Yehuda, treif achinuksiv. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that halacha? Based on the other pasuk. Okay, we have two psukim regarding the nevela treif, a bird that shouldn't be eaten, and then is metame. So the next treifa tells you, it covers this case. Rav Meir, okay, now Rav Meir has an extra treifa. Well, he says, one is coming to exempt a bird that was shechted in the Azara, it's not Matami. V'chad l'muti, oif tami, one is to tell you that only a kosher bird will feature this tuma beis habliya, but not a non-kosher bird. As we discussed yesterday, it's based on the word treif. So now Rabbi Yehuda is sort of one down, one short. Rabbi Yehuda ben Nevela nafkla. He says, well, it says Nevela in the pasuk to tell you that only a kosher bird which has an issue of Nevela would be included in this halach of tuma beis habliya, but not a non-kosher bird. Rabbi Meir, now he has an extra pasuk. Hi Nevela, my other, what does it do with the word Nevela? L'shir achila b'kazayas, to tell you that the tuma that one absorbs from the eif tummy upon eating it must involve a proper act of achila, which is halachically regarded as an act of achila, an amount which is a kazayas. Ask the Gemara, but now we're focused on the second pasuk, the extra pasuk, right? V'tepik le'mikro kamo. That could be learned from the first pasuk. Mid'apke rachmana b'lashon achila. Even in the first pasuk, it says, well, if one eats the nevela, well, eating means the shira kezayis. We don't need a separate pasuk for that, right? We'll focus now on the second pasuk. Rabbi says the word nevela in the second pasuk tells you the other halacha. Rabbi says this for kezayis. In the first pasuk, the word achila is already mentioned, which means a kezayis. Says Rabbi, we still need two pasuk. Chad l'shira achila b'kezayis. There are two elements of importance. Two achila properties that have to be kept in mind. One is the amount, shir achila b'kazayis, v'chad, one is duration, how long it takes to eat that kazayis. L'shir achila, v'chad l'shir achila b'chtei achilas pras. The amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, you know, a meal time. He must have completed that kezayis of the oif within that prescribed period, 4 minutes, 9 minutes, depending on the shittas. So two psukim, one is to tell you the amount, one is to tell you the amount of time. Why would I need two psukim? Why would I think it's any different than any other eating in the Torah? Perhaps I would think, this whole thing is an anomaly, it's something unusual. Remember, the bird itself is not going to transfer tumah by merely touching, etc., but by eating, yes, that's something unusual we don't find anywhere. So perhaps even if he stretches the experience, takes him 2 hours to eat that kezayis, yaiser mechteich lespras, not merely time, perhaps he will get that tumah as well. Kamashmula, no, comes the Torah twice and says, look, eat, one is for the amount, one is for the achilas pras. Okay, so we had a lot of back and forth and discussions about psukim. Let's just try to encapsulate what happened here. So the trigger point was, of course, the Mishnah, where we learned that a behema that had shechita is, of course, spirit of any tumas nevela, even if discovered to be a treif. That's learned from a pasuk, v'chiyamas mina behema, as we learned yesterday. What about a bird in the same situation? Rav Meir says, tar, based on the comparison between the oif and the behema, that was the pasuk yesterday. Rebuda says, well, look at the word treif on the pasuk, which is extra. Even if that was nishchat, but discovered to be a treif, is metame. Now, all agree that the tuma of beis ablia, by a dead bird, only applies to a oif tohar, kosher bird, as opposed to a non-kosher bird. Now, all agree that you need a shir achila b'kazayis and b'chtei achilas pras. It's only that Rav Meir needed two psukim, one for either halacha. Rav Yehuda says, no, it's obvious. Once you know one, you know the other. Leaving him with an extra pasuk, the word treifa, to tell you, a treifa shenishchata is still metame b'beis apliya. Now we shift over to the chelev discussion again. So the Torah is telling us a chiddush. Even a nevela, an animal that died, whose basar is metame, but the chelev is a totally different entity, it's not metame. But again, this only applies to a behema tohira. By a chaya, it's not so. By a behema tmeya, it's not so. Here comes the discussion about that. Tana Rabba. The chelev nevela, the chelev treifa. The chelev of a nevela is not metame. We're speaking about the chelev of a kosher animal that died. Ato, I mean, you're suggesting that it's only there. It's limited to chelav abatayru. Maybe not. Or yeah, no yellow bechelav beim atmeya. Maybe even a non-kosher animal. The answer is amris. Let's draw a parallel. Tiher mechlal shchut. The Torah was metahir an animal through shchita, right? You do shchita, it's spirit of an ituma. And likewise, v'tiher mechlal chelav. We find also that the Torah was metahir because it's chelav. Right? Meaning the chelav of nevela doesn't have tumah. Let's compare the two equations. Ma kishatir mechlal shchuta, just as the spearing of the tumah through shchita only applies to a kosher animal, but toira kosev v'lo b'tmeh, not by a non-kosher. How do we know? Rashi brings a pasuk, teres koyanim. Shchita of a non-kosher animal doesn't help it much, doesn't spear it of tumah. Likewise, let's assume the exemption of tumah applied to the chelav of an avela only applies to a kosher animal. Av kishatir mechlal chelav, but tahira only by a kosher animal. Okay, I hear, but perhaps let's take a different route, resulting in a different destination. Look, tir mechlal nevela. I think more later we'll explain this, speaking about a bird now. So, by a non-kosher bird, even if it's dead, it's not matami beisabliya, right? V'tir mechlal chelav. And likewise, we find over here, there's an exemption from tumah due to the fact that it's chelav. Let's compare these two ideas. Ma kshatir mechlal nevela, just as when the Torah exempts from the tumah of nevela, it's only by the non-kosher bird, v'tmeah, v'loy b'tor, not by the kosher bird that died, that's matami. We basically, as discussed earlier, av kshatir mechlal chelav, likewise, the exemption of tumah by chelav, perhaps is only by a non-kosher animal, v'tmeah, v'loy b'tor. So which way? Amris. So now we're in a predicament. Shabbat b'derech zu, when you take this route, we apply the chelav exemption to a kosher animal only. Shabbat b'derech zu, when we take the other route, the exemption applies to a non-kosher animal only. So which way? Take a look at the pasuk again. V'chelav nevela, v'chelav treifa. The word treifa tells you, mishiyesh b'mina treifa. Only a type of animal that has within it a treifa issue, meaning a kosher animal which has issur treifa. Oitzis atmei, as opposed to a non-kosher animal which doesn't have treifa concerns. It's always usher anyways. Shame mina treifa. V'loy oitzis achai, likewise. Perhaps I should not exclude the chaya from this exemption. Why? Because chaya in this way is similar to behemo, kosher chaya. Sheyesh mina treifa, because it has within its type in issur treifa, right? The chaya is typically okay unless it's a treifa. Should I include the chaya in this exemption as well? Tamalayim, no, v'ochal lo'isechlu. Pasuk concludes, don't eat the chaylev. It's Torah, but don't eat it. That's only by a behema, because the chaylev of a chaya is mutter to eat. Mishachel ba'asu b'sara mutter. It only applies to a kosher behema, whose basar is mutter and chaylev is asr. That's a chaya as opposed to a chaya. Shachel ba'asara mutter, both flesh and chaylev are mutter, and therefore it doesn't have this exemption. Rather, if it's a chaya nevela, just as the basar is tummy, likewise the chaylev is one thing. Now let's go back for a minute to that brayse, second part of that brayse, which seemed to say that an avela of a non-kosher or something is not matami. Now we're going to see in a minute, speaking about the birds. But the Gemara thought it was talking about the animals. Amar Rav Yaakov bar Abba, he turned l'Rava, he says, Elamiyata, what do you mean to say? The brayse means, Nivlas behema tahiro de matama, only an avela of a kosher animal is matami. Nivlas behem matame, but an avail of a non-kosher animal, loy matame is not matame? Of an animal? Amalei says, no. Let me correct this misunderstanding. Kama sabi shabishtaba, many elders have made this mistake. Seifa ason nivlas evtame. You should know the second part of that brayse refers to the avail of a bird. And here we know that an avail of a tummy bird is not matame. Okay, so conclusion. Chelev of an avela, is it matami? Depends. Chelev of a behema, not matami. Chelev of a chay or a non-kosher animal is matami. Amar b'yichna, let's go back to that earlier discussion. A bird that had shchit is not matami, even if it was a treif. That is a meir shita. Amar b'yichna, let me add something to that that point. Lo yitir rabbi meir ela b'tmimen. Now, one second. It not only applies to Shechita, even to Malika, and that's the focus of our discussion now. Even a bird that had Malika to it. Malika is like Shechita, according to Rameh's Shechita, and it saves it from Tumah, even if it was discovered to be a treif. Says Rabbi Yechanan. Om Rabbi Yechanan, Leitir, Rabbi Meir. When does Rabbi Meir allow Malika the spirit of its Tumah to save it from becoming Tamim? Leitir, Rabbi Meir, El B'Tamim, and only if the bird was Tamim, unblemished, and potentially suitable to be used as a carbon, which is meant to experience the Malika experience. Avul B'Bali Mumen, but imagine if the bird is a Baal Mumen, a blemished bird, which is not kosher for carbon. So Malika in this case is not relevant at all. It's not applicable. Loi, so Malika in this case will not spare it. From becoming tummy. Okay, so you have a bird, that was a balmum, experienced Malika, it's metami. Rabbi Lezer, I'm afilu bevali mumen. He says no. A bird, which is a Baal Mum, and not suitable for Hakrava, it doesn't really matter. It's not Metame. Because after all, the act of Malika is a valid process that applies to Karbonis, so by extension, to any bird, to the extent that it will save it from being considered dead and Nevela. I feel a Baal Mum, it's Mernami. Likewise, we have another saying from other chachamim to this extent that Omra baby Omra Belazar mitai hoy, this is Rabbi Meir speaking again, right? Rabbi Elazar mitai hoy Rabbi Meir afilu bali mumen. Rabbi Meir would apply the tahara even to a blemished bird. Listen to this, afilu ba'avazin mitar negoilin, even if he did malika to a goose, to a duck, to a chicken, which never belongs on the Mizbeach, right? Still, the Malika will spear it from being considered a Nevela and Tumas Beis Ablia. Amazing. Why? Because the fact is, it is in the bird species, it's type of bird, type of fowl, right? And Malika typically applies to some extent to birds in the Beis HaMikdash. So likewise, at least this much, it will spear it from being considered a Nevela, and it will not be Matami. Boy, Rabbi Yirmi, here comes Rabbi Yirmi with an interesting question. Let's shift over to a totally different topic, but the underlying concept will connect. So if a fellow was found, a victim was found on the road, killer unknown, the closest city brings an Egla Arufa, a calf, which is beheaded in a very specific way, right? To take responsibility for what happened and to atone for it. So as we're going to see later, right, this act, this beheading, is called arifa. If it was done properly, the animal now is not metami. It's not metami, it doesn't have to. But Rabbi Yirmiya, araf a is ma. What if instead of doing arifa on the calf, as prescribed, they did the arifa on an aze, on a goat, a totally different animal? Ma, what's the status now? Is it going to be metami or not? Perhaps, just like Rameer says, that the act of Malika could even spear a chicken from Tumah. Why? Since the concept of Malika applies to fowl in the Beis HaMikdash, were appropriate. Right? So likewise, the Arifa, which is a prescribed act in this type of circumstance, will spear the calf from becoming Tumah. No, even if it's a different type, if it's a goat, will have the same effect. Or shall we say no? Let's see. Ma, what's the aloha? Avazim v'tarnagoylim. Malika spears the avazim v'tarnagoylim. Time am I, you know why? The meaning of life is nino, because they're a type of bird. So they're close enough to the real thing. Aval a is lav mina de eglu, but doing a reef on an a is a totally different type of animal than a calf. So it's totally ineffective. I do more, you can say, oh, it's close enough. It's still a behema. Mina de behema. It's still a behema. Like the calf is. You also Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi was sitting with Karmel al Ashmat and he presented this question. Amalei Abayis Abayi responded. Based on what you're saying, I'm deducing that that if an egla was done properly, it's not metame? I mean, that's the basis for your question. Mechalal, do you mean to say the egla rufa toiri? That egla rufa is tar? Amar Le'en says, yeah, 100%. Amid Rabbi, as was learned in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yanai, kapara. The pasuk says, kapar lamcha Yisrael. It has the power of atonement like a karban. Kapara ksivo kikachim. So it's compared to a karban, which is not metame. Likewise, this one's not metame, if done properly. The question is, if it was done in this way. Masir Rav Nosson Avua Dravuna Bar Nosson. I had a question. So an egla rufa properly processed is not metame. We have a brisa again regarding the chaylev over there. Va'ochel le'sachlu. So the chaylev, right, of the behemah Torah that died is not metame. Make sure not to eat it, but it's not metame, right? Ainly ala chaylev she'asu b'achila. Umutar b'hano. Perhaps this exemption from tumah by chaylev is only by chaylev which is also to be eaten from an avela, but it's still mutar b'hano. As the pasuk there says, use it for your own purposes, right? You know, process your hides or whatever. So the exemption of tumah applies there. But what about chaylev of an animal which is not only usher to eat but also to even have benefit from? For instance, chaylev shel sher haniskal, the chaylev of a stoned ox that gored and right is now usher b'hano, or the chaylev of egla rufa, our egla rufa here, which is usher b'hano. Minayin, how do we know that there are tohir as well? Tamalayma kol chaylev. The pasuk there says kol chaylev, any chaylev, even the ones that are really forbidden for achila and hano, they're still tohir. So despite the chaylev being from an avela, right, which is tamei, the chaylev is different, it's tar, as we explained earlier. Which in the case that we're speaking about chaylev of an egla rufa, which is has tumah, right? But the chaylev is not tamei. But you tell me the egla rufa itself doesn't have tumah at all. It's like a carbon, right? According to what you're telling me, that egla rufa toirahi, the properly processed egla rufa remains tahar, doesn't get tumas nevela. So why does the pasuk have to point out, well, you should know the chaylev of an egla rufa is tahar. The whole thing is tahar. He tahir v'chel b'tamei. How can he entertain that the actual flesh, the animal is tahar, but the chaylev should be tamei? Obviously not. The answer is hecha d'arif me'arif. If the arifa was done properly, literally, you're right, you don't need a pasuk. Leistrichli, of course, the whole thing is tar. Ki istricha hecha d'shachta mishcha, the pasuk, which tells you the chaylev of egla rufa is still tar, was speaking that the arifa wasn't done properly. They did shchita on the front of the neck, totally different thing. So now, since it wasn't done properly, it has the din of an avela. And it has tumah. And still, despite the fact that it has tumah and it has isur hano, the chaylev is still tar. Ask the Gemara. But hold on, if you did shchita, why would it be tame? We said earlier that the shchita of a behema always spares it of tumah. But tahanele shchita l'tar midei nevela, the shchita should help it. Spirit of tumas nevela. You're right. We're not speaking that it was shchita, that it just died. Mechalal de mechaim asur. Do you mean to say that the isur hano already applies during its lifetime? That's the basis of this whole discussion, that the egla rufa is always asur and the Torah has to come exempt the chaylev. Don't think. And yeah, Amar Rabbi Yanai, as Rabbi Yanai said, Gvul Shemati. I once heard, you know, sort of the boundary. Like, when does this happen? Shachti, I forgot exactly when the isur hano is triggered during its lifetime. But Nasfin Chavari Lameiman, the friends, the my colleagues, the talmidim, suggested that Yiridosal Anachal Esani Esrata, when the calf is delivered to the brought down to the ravine over there, that makes it asr. So isur hano gets triggered at that point, and then it depends what happens to it. If you know, so it always stays asr b'hano, that never leaves. But in terms of tumas nevela, if it was properly processed with the proper arifa, you know, system, then it's a tahar of tumas nevela. It's like a carbon kapara, right? However, if the animal died, and if there was shchita there as well, the shchita saved it from tumas nevela. But if it died, so it didn't have a shchita, didn't have the proper arifa, the actual animal becomes tamei like an avela. But still, a special pasuk to tell you that the chaylev is not matami, just like any other chaylev of an avela, which is not matami. Okay, so in a nutshell, we learned about the chelev of the behemoth and chayis, which are nevelos. Torah says it's tahor, but again, that only applies to a behemoth tahira, not to a chaya, not to a behemoth tmeya. And when we speak about a behemoth tahira being tahor, even a type which is asur bahano, like a sharaniskal or a glarufa, still the chelev is tahor. Regarding the nevela of an oif, which is metame beis ablia, that's only by an oif tahor, not an oif tame. What about an oif that was nishchat or nimlak, according to a mayor, that was spirit of nevela, a status, according to a buda, is still metame beis ablia. Hadron loch, chatas oif. All the best, you and atzlach rab.